Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the new contract version of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, we're going to start with the news. Then, of course, the big news of the week is James Franklin has signed a large new contract with Penn State to be the head coach for the next decade or so. Before I hand it over to you, I want to just give a couple of my thoughts on this. First of all, I think it's good for Penn State, and I think it's good for James Franklin that they keep this marriage together. One of the things you always have to be careful with is thinking the grass is always greener somewhere else.
Yes,
Penn State
sir.
having to get another coach, that's a scary proposition. But just as scary, I think it should be for Coach James Franklin, thinking that the grass is greener for him elsewhere. There might have been a nice big contract somewhere, but going to USC or LSU does not guarantee success. We've seen a lot of big-time coaches go to places like Florida, Florida State, Miami, Texas, USC, and absolutely fail. So I think this is best for both sides, but I do have a few questions about it. If I'm reading the contract correctly, this is a marriage where Penn State has committed quite a lot to James Franklin. They've committed the next decade. If they fire him, they still got to pay him all that money. They committed to better facilities. I'm sure also more money for assistant coaches.
Sure.
All of that. But in return, is James Franklin making the same commitment? If I'm reading things correctly and things that I've read, within 2 years, his buyout becomes trivial. In other words, Andy, this exercise, which we've already gone through about three times with James Franklin, in 2 years, we might be doing the exact same thing.
No,
Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
This is a two-year extension. I mean, the dog and pony show is the 10-year thing. But real money, like real money-wise, just based on the buyouts, this is through the 2023 season. I kind of also think it might have been structured that way in terms of James's buyout, right? It feels like Penn State was okay with that as well. Like, they're willing to ride this for two more years. And then they can fire him, right? Or he can leave. But it just feels like a two-year extension, right? Like, it feels like
let me stop you for 1 second. If in 2 years Penn State chooses to fire James Franklin, they still owe him for the balance of the contract, right?
Correct. They still owe him for the balance of the contract.
So they can't – that's a lot of money to owe.
It's
8 years at $7 or $8 million.
It is.
You're talking $60 million. They're not going to fire him.
They are
– Andy, not at that price tag.
That is a big one. I just feels like a two-year extension to me, and it feels like a two-year extension for James more than anything. And I find it interesting in his quote about this, right? He said, about 9 weeks ago, the administration came to me, right? Like, in his statement about the contract. And if you do a little calendar checking, the exact same time the administration came to him was about a week after USC fired Clay Helton. And, you know, so I think about this. Like, what did Penn State just sign up for long term, right? This is what I think. They just gave an extension to a coach who's 11-9 in his last 20 games. But overall, while he's been the Penn State coach, generally speaking, he wins 2 out of 3 games. He loses some tough, close games and big games where both teams play well, but they usually come up on the short end of the stick. I think 2016 was 5 years ago, and that looks and feels more like lightning in a bottle than an expectation. I still think he's an outstanding CEO of an organization. I think the coaches underneath him and the money he has obtained to pay them more, I think it's been a bit of a train wreck for him. The offensive coordinator, wide receiver coach carousel that he kind of partially created, well, I'd say he largely created both of them. And part of it was, you know, like when Ricky Ronning went to get a head coaching job at Old Dominion. That's nothing that he can control. But generally speaking, the mess that is the offensive corner and the wide receiver coach, that has created a real problem on the field for his offense that manifests itself this year. It is shown up on the field, and it is hurt talent development. That is his problem. So it's a double whammy when, as the CEO, head coach of an organization, the guys that you hire, they don't develop talent, and it affects the product on the field. I think Mike Yurcich has got his work cut out for him, but I understand why Penn State is doing this. It makes perfect sense. LSU, USC, Florida need coaches. There's not a lot out there. I mean, I like Dave Clawson at Wake Forest. He's a really good football coach. But is LSU going to hire Dave Clawson at Wake Forest to move the needle? Is USC going to hire Dave Clawson to move the needle? So it is a difficult market for coaches right now. And James is still an outstanding program CEO.
I believe, again, best for both sides. My only disappointment, like I said, is I'm seeing a full and total commitment by the university. I'm seeing a full and total commitment from James. And, you know, if I were to talk to James right now, my question to him would be, barring the university asking you to leave, are you going to be the Penn State coach in 2025? In 2024?
Yeah, because it goes
3 years from now, are you going to still be the coach?
Yeah, and his buyout goes from like 12 to 4 or something. It drops significantly.
I will tell you this, he won't answer that question. So,
no, he won't. I don't know if that's pretty standard, if on long terms, if the buyout drops that big, because you know what I mean? Like
everything on a contract, Andy, is negotiable.
Well, that's a good
point. If, you know, Penn State is promising him 10 years of salary. James Franklin is promising them 2 years of coaching. Okay.
Right.
That's the difference.
The first year of his buyout's 12 and then it goes to 8 million and then it goes to 6 in 2023 and then 2 million the rest of the way for him. That's exactly what it is.
So anyway, with that said, I am happy that James Franklin will be around for another year. I'm very happy to keep this recruiting class together.
Yeah,
I'm excited to what we will see. I'm just hoping that we're not going to hear excuses next year if there's a loss that happens because of what happened on the field or a coaching decision.
Jimmy, that's not going away, my man. He's not good on Saturdays. That's not changing.
Well, at least for all that money, be smart enough to say, I've got a problem there. I need to fix it.
Yeah, so, let's give a little bit of control to some of the other guys on the sidelines.
Okay, let's move on and talk some actual football news.
Sure.
Andy, the big news from last weekend's game against Rutgers, a shutout. They overcame, a flu bug that went through the team, missed a lot of folks. Most importantly, what it meant was a couple of the young people got on the field. And at quarterback, you had Christian Vaiu actually looking pretty good as the true freshman. Did he alleviate our concerns about having a quarterback, a QB1, next year if Sean Clifford leaves?
Yeah, you said he looked pretty good. I'd say he was not half bad. That's the way I'm going to put it. I don't know if you – I'm not comfortable saying that I could say three quarters. In three quarters of work, I think, you know, if Sean Clifford doesn't come back, the quarterback room is fixed. I think it's already fixed itself. I think what he did in those three quarters was change the dynamic of the quarterback position at Penn State because you already have a five-star coming in, and you now know you have a guy that at least is not going to be a deer in headlights if you put him on an FBS Big Ten field, right? It was Rutgers, but still, he performed he performed okay under that, and he did fine. And that's what you're looking for. So I think it was important because Penn State's quarterback room, you know, let's just say it, it's been a sort of weak, ugly duckling this year that's kind of like been, if Sean Clifford, even three quarters or 60% or 70% of Sean Clifford was better than any option. And it, don't ask the question. Don't ask. It's just stupid to think, well, if Christian Vaiu played like that, what was the difference in the Iowa game? I think you have to be in the room to know, to answer that question. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks makes a difference for a kid that young, because he's certainly got a ton more reps since Roberson did what he did at Iowa. So I don't know, you know, that's not a relevant thing for me. I think it changes a little bit. It really changes the room a little bit for me, especially with a five-star coming in. You know, you've got options.
And that question about putting Vaiu in against Iowa or Illinois, it's great in hindsight.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, at the time, you don't know how these guys are going to react to a big-time football, big-time stadium.
Yep.
And all else equal, if you have this hostile environment at Iowa that you're dealing with, are you going to go with the guy who's been in the program for 3 years, or the kid who just came in, true freshman, didn't even have a senior year of high school because of COVID?
Correct.
Who are you going to trust? And trust me, at practice, there weren't the same issues that Roberson had, dropping the snap, the whole snap count snafu. All of those things, type of things, don't show up in practice. They show up when you hit the field for real.
I'll say this, Jimmy. If you think putting Christian Vaiu on the field against Iowa in that situation, if you think it looks the same as Rutgers, it would have looked the same against Iowa, you really don't know football. That's just, it's just a completely, completely different scenario. And you're 100% right. We have no idea what's going on technically, you know, for the week to week. And I think they saw what they saw was, we think this guy who's been around long enough is ready for this. And you don't know till you put him out there and he melts and falls apart like he did. You're like, that's a tough lesson to learn, but that's a lesson learned.
I don't know if the situation was they said he's ready for this, but I think what they said is, we're betting he's more ready than the true freshman is.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
He did. It's not like you had to, all this confidence that this guy was going to be great, but you had to feel like he's a little bit older, a little more mature, little more experience, that would be the difference. Still, I got to say, Andy, I'm curious, how would this have turned out if it were Vaiu who was brought in? Andy, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around, everybody. We got Ross coming in on quarter number two.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.